We're continuing Chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And so we're in the memory still. And this guy Murfin is being a weirdozoid. And he's talking to our ministry dude is Ogden, and he's talking to Mr. Gaunt. So he goes, "Mr. Gaunt," said Ogden doggedly, "I'm afraid that neither your ancestors nor mine have anything to do with the matter in hand. I am here because of Morphin and the muggle he accosted late last night. Our information," he glanced down at his scroll of parchment, "is that Morphin performed a jinx or hex on said muggle, causing him to erupt in highly painful hives." Morphin giggled. "Be quiet, boy," snarled Gaunt in parcel tongue, and Morphin fell silent again. "And so what if he did, then?" Gaunt said defiantly. "I expect you've wiped the muggle's filthy face clean for him and his memory to boot." "That's hardly the point, is it, Mr. Gaunt?" said Ogden. "This was an unprovoked attack on a defenseless..." "I had you marked out for a muggle lover the moment I saw you," sneered Gaunt, and he spat on the floor. "This discussion is getting us nowhere," said Ogden firmly. "It is clear from your son's attitude that he feels no remorse for his actions." He glanced at the scroll of parchment again. "Morphin will attend a hearing on the 14th of September to answer the charges of using magic in front of a muggle and causing harm and distress to the same muggle." Ogden broke off. The jingling, clopping sound of horses and loud laughing voices were drifting in through the open window. Apparently the winding lane to the village passed very close to the copse where the house stood. Gaunt froze, listening, his eyes wide. Morphin hissed and turned his face toward the sounds, his expression hungry. Merope raised her head. Her face, Harry saw, was starkly white. "My God, what an eyesore," rang out a girl's voice, as clearly audible through the open window as if she had stood in the room beside them. "Could your father have that hovel cleared away, Tom?" "It's not ours," said a young man's voice. "Everything on the other side of the valley belongs to us, but that cottage belongs to an old tramp called Gaunt and his children. The son's quite mad. You should hear some of the stories they tell in the village." The girl laughed. The jingling, clopping noises were growing louder and louder. Morphin made to get out of his armchair. "Keep your seat," said his father warningly in parcel tongue. "Tom," said the girl's voice again, now so close that they were clearly right beside the house. "I might be wrong, but has somebody nailed a snake to the door?" "Good Lord, you're right," said the man's voice. "That'll be the son. I told you he's not right in the head. Don't look at it, Cecilia, darling." The jingling and clopping sounds were now growing fainter again. "Darling," whispered Morphin in parcel tongue, looking at his sister. "Darling," he called her, "so he wouldn't have you anyway." Merope was so white, Harry felt sure she was going to faint. "What's that?" said Gaunt sharply, also in parcel tongue, looking from his son to his daughter. "What did you say, Morphin?" "She likes looking at that muggle," said Morphin, a vicious expression on his face as he stared at his sister, who now looked terrified. "Always in the garden when he passes, peering through the hedge at him, isn't she? And last night..." Merope shook her head jerkily, imploringly, but Morphin went on ruthlessly. "Hanging out of the window, waiting for him to ride home, wasn't she?" "Hanging out of the window to look at a muggle?" said Gaunt quietly. All three of the Gaunts seemed to have forgotten Ogden, who was looking both bewildered and irritated at this renewed outbreak of incomprehensible hissing and rasping. "Is it true?" said Gaunt in a deadly voice, advancing a step or two toward the terrified girl. "My daughter, pure-blooded descendant of Salazar Slytherin, hankering after a filthy, dirt-veined muggle?" Merope shook her head frantically, pressing herself into the wall, apparently unable to speak. "But I got him, father," cackled Morphin. "I got him as he went by, and he didn't look so pretty with hives all over him, did he, Merope?" "You disgusting little squib, you filthy little blood traitor," roared Gaunt, losing control. And his hands closed around his daughter's throat. Both Harry and Ogden yelled no at the same time. Ogden raised his wand and cried, "Relatio!" Gaunt was thrown backward away from his daughter. He tripped over a chair and fell flat on his back. With a roar of rage, Morfin leapt out of his chair and ran at Ogden, brandishing his bloody knife and firing hexes indiscriminately from his wand. Ogden ran for his life. Dumbledore indicated they ought to follow, and Harry obeyed, Merope's screams echoing in his ears. Ogden hurtled up the path and erupted onto the main lane, his arms over his head, where he collided with a glossy, chestnut, horse-ridden man by a very handsome, He collided with a glossy, chestnut horse ridden by a very handsome, dark-haired young man. Both he and the pretty girl riding beside him on the gray horse roared with laughter at the sight of Ogden, who bounced off the horse's flank and set off again, his frock coat flying, covered from head to foot in dust, running pell-mell up the lane. "I think that will do, Harry," said Dumbledore. He took Harry by the elbow and tugged. Next moment, they were both soaring weightlessly through the darkness until they landed squarely on their feet, back in Dumbledore's now twilight office. "What happened to the girl in the cottage?" said Harry at once, as Dumbledore lit extra lamps with a flick of his wand. "Merope, or whatever her name was." "Oh, she survived," said Dumbledore, reseating himself behind his desk and indicating that Harry should sit down too. Ogden apparated back to the ministry and returned with reinforcements within 15 minutes. Morfin and his father attempted to fight, but both were overpowered, removed from the cottage, and subsequently convicted by the Wizengamot. Morfin, who had already had a record of Muggle attacks, was sentenced to 3 years in Azkaban. Marvolo, who had injured several ministry employees in addition to Ogden, received 6 months. "Marvolo?" Harry repeated wonderingly. "That's right," said Dumbledore, smiling in approval. "I'm glad to see you're keeping up." "That old man was..." "Voldemort's grandfather, yes," said Dumbledore. Marvolo and his son Morfin and his daughter Merope were the last of the Gaunts, a very ancient wizarding family noted for a vein of instability and violence that flourished through the generations due to their habit of marrying their own cousins. Lack of sense, coupled with a great liking for grandeur, meant that the family gold was squandered several generations before Marvolo was born. He, as you saw, was left in squalor and poverty, with a very nasty temper, a fantastic amount of arrogance and pride, and a couple of family heirlooms that he treasured just as much as his son, and rather more than his daughter. "So Merope," said Harry, leaning forward in his chair and staring at Dumbledore. "So, Merope was... Sir, does that mean she was Voldemort's mother?" "It does," said Dumbledore. "And so it happens that we also had a glimpse of Voldemort's father. I wonder whether you noticed." The Muggle Morfin attacked the man on the horse? "Very good indeed," said Dumbledore, beaming. "That was Tom Riddle Sr., the handsome Muggle who used to go riding past the Gaunt cottage, and for whom Merope Gaunt cherished a secret burning passion." "And they ended up married?" Harry said in disbelief, unable to imagine two people less likely to fall in love. "I think you are forgetting," said Dumbledore, "that Merope was a witch. I do not believe that her magical powers appeared to their best advantage when she was being terrorized by her father. Once Marvolo and Morfin were safely in Azkaban, she was alone and free for the first time in her life, then I am sure she was able to give full rein to her abilities and plot her escape from the desperate life she had led for 18 years. Can you not think of any measure Merope could have taken to make Tom Riddle forget his Muggle companion and fall in love with her instead?" "The Imperius Curse?" Harry suggested. "Or a love potion?" "You okay, Boo?"
"I just laughed at that."
"Oh, yeah. The Imperius Curse," Harry suggested. "Or a love potion?" "Very good," said Dumbledore. "Personally, I'm inclined to think that she used a love potion. I'm sure it would have seemed more romantic to her, and I do not think it would have been very difficult some hot day when Riddle was riding alone to persuade him to take a drink of water. In any case, within a few months of the scene we have just witnessed, the village of Little Hangleton enjoyed a tremendous scandal. You can imagine the gossip it caused when the squire's son ran off with a tramp's daughter, Merope. But the villager's shock was nothing to Marvolo's. He returned from Azkaban expecting to find his daughter dutifully awaiting his return with a hot meal ready on his table. Instead, he found a clear inch of dust and a note of farewell explaining what she had done. From all that I have been able to discover, he never mentioned her name or existence from that time forth. The shock of her desertion may have contributed to his early death, or perhaps he had simply never learned to feed himself. Azkaban had greatly weakened Marvolo, and he did not live to see Morfin return to the cottage. And Merope? She died, didn't she? Wasn't Voldemort brought up in an orphanage? Yes, indeed, said Dumbledore. We must do a certain amount of guessing here, although I do not think it is difficult to deduce what happened. You see, within a few months of their runaway marriage, Tom Riddle reappeared at the manor in Little Hangleton without his wife. The rumor flew around the neighborhood that he was talking of being hoodwinked or taken in. What he meant, I am sure, is that he had been under an enchantment that had now lifted, though I dare say he did not dare use those precise words for fear of being thought insane. When they heard what he was saying, however, the villagers guessed that Merope had lied to Tom Riddle, pretending she was going to have his baby and that he had married her for this reason. But she did have his baby. But not until a year after they were married. Tom Riddle left her while she was still pregnant. What went wrong? Harry said. Why did the love potion stop working? Again, this is guesswork, said Dumbledore, but I believe that Merope, who was deeply in love with her husband, could not bear to continue enslaving him by magical means. I believe she made the choice to stop giving him the potion. Perhaps, besotted as she was, she had convinced herself that he would by now have fallen in love with her in return. Perhaps she thought he would stay for the baby's sake. If so, she was wrong on both counts. He left her, never saw her again, and never troubled to discover what became of his son. The sky outside was inky black, and the lamps in Dumbledore's office seemed to glow more brightly than before. I think that will do for tonight, Harry, said Dumbledore after a moment or two. Yes, sir, said Harry. He got to his feet, but did not leave. Sir, is it important to know all this about Voldemort's past? Very important, I think, said Dumbledore. And it's got something to do with the prophecy? It has everything to do with the prophecy. Right, said Harry, a little confused, but reassured all the same. He turned to go, and then another question occurred to him, and he turned back again. Sir, am I allowed to tell Ron and Hermione everything you've told me? Dumbledore considered him for a moment, and then said, Yes, I think Mr. Weasley and Miss Granger have proved themselves trustworthy. But, Harry, I'm going to ask them not to repeat any of this to anybody else. It would not be a good idea if word got out how much I know or suspect about Lord Voldemort's secrets. No, sir, I'll make sure it's just Ron and Hermione. Good night. He turned away again, and was almost at the door when he saw it. Sitting on one of the little spindle-legged tables that supported so many frail-looking silver instruments was an ugly gold ring set with a large cracked black stone. Sir, said Harry, staring at it. That ring. Yes, said Dumbledore. You were wearing it when we visited Professor Slughorn that night. So I was, Dumbledore agreed. But isn't it the same ring Marvolo Gaunt showed Ogden? Dumbledore bowed his head. The very same. But how come, have you always had it? No, I acquired it very recently, said Dumbledore. A few days before I came to fetch you from your aunt and uncle's, in fact. That would be around the same time you injured your hand then, sir. Around that time, yes, Harry. Harry hesitated. Dumbledore was smiling. Sir, how exactly? Too late, Harry. You shall hear the story another time. Good night. Good night, sir, Harry said. And similarly, the pup is saying Good night to his beautiful kitten. I hope you like that, sweet darling. Sweet dreams. I love you so much.